like to ask you to turn your Bible tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. Paul writing to the church at Corinth in the 16th chapter of his first epistle, verses 13 and 14 tonight for our text. And here Paul writes to this church and he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. That, Father, tonight we can share your word. That, Father, tonight we can fellowship with your people. That we can enjoy tonight the blessings that you so adequately provide for us tonight. And Father, we lift you up and we want to praise you and thank you for all that you've done. We want to worship and tonight stand in awe of you. Because you are the great God of glory that has loved us and saved us tonight and is securing us and one day will bring us home to be with you. And for all things that's done here this evening, we pray that Jesus Christ might be lifted up and he might be exalted. For it's in his precious holy name we pray. Amen and amen. There's a song in our hymn book that we sing occasionally called Stand Up for Jesus. And, you know, there are some times that I like to know the story behind a particular song, how that song came to be written, especially some of our great old-time hymns. And there was a man by the name of Dudley Ting, and he was a preacher up in Philadelphia, and he used to preach at the YMCA on weekdays around 12 o'clock, I believe on Wednesday, they said, and he preached a sermon called Stand Up for Jesus. Later on in the week, he went out in the country, and he was there in the country, and his arm got caught in a corn shelling machine, and it was torn from his arm, and of course, not having the technology and doctors we have today, he fell into a coma and eventually died. But they said upon his deathbed as he was laying there about time to die that they began to sing. And he looked at them and he said, "I want you to tell them something for me. Tell them to stand up for Jesus." And one of his friends was a man by the name of George Drumfield. And he took that particular message, that particular saying, and he sat down and he penned the words to the hymn, stand up for Jesus. As I read these words tonight of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, I believe this evening one of the things the church needs to hear, one of the things Christians need to hear, one of the things we need to hold dear in our heart tonight is stand up today for Jesus. Paul, as he closes out this epistle to the Corinthian church, is actually, I believe, here issuing to them a challenge, but also a call to service. And tonight is for you and I today because everything that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write to this church is good for us this evening. Maybe this should be tonight the motto of our service. Stand up for Jesus. Paul is saying this because he knew that this church would face opposition. The Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write this because he knew down through the ages God's people would face much opposition. He wrote to this church in the earlier part of this chapter and verse number 9, he said, "For a great and effectual a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." There is much opposition. I'm afraid today that sometimes we don't really stop and consider how much opposition is out there concerning the Word of God, concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning carrying the gospel to all people this evening. I sometimes remember the words that Jesus used when he said that you need to beware, that you need to be careful when all men speak well of you. And today, as we live in this nation, as we live in this time and this age, many times tonight we think we're facing opposition, but we're not really facing the opposition the Apostle Paul faced. But I'm afraid in the days to come we may face that same kind of opposition, those same kind of adversaries, that stuff that Paul had to come against everywhere that he went. He had to overcome much tonight. But God always come through for him and was always strong for him. Tonight we live in a day and an age when we need to stand up for Jesus in spite and in face of the opposition that's against us tonight. Many times it comes from without. We find that much opposition tonight comes from without. But the strange thing tonight is that much of the opposition we're facing today comes within the walls of the church, or the so-called church, I maybe ought to say this evening. We find that many people today who claim to be churches and claim to be preachers and claim tonight to be preaching the gospel are really in opposition tonight to the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in opposition tonight to the stringent commands of the Word of God. They do not believe the Bible tonight is the divinely inspired Word of the living God. I believe tonight with all of my heart the Bible that I have on the pulpit open before me tonight is God's divinely inspired Word. Many people tonight make fun and mockery and say tonight that we don't really have a copy of the real Word of God. Well, all I can tell them to do is go down to the bookstore, buy them a good King James Version, and they'll have one tonight. But listen to me this evening. They're opposing the people of God from within the church. Jude called them tonight and said they'd creep in unawares. Paul called them tonight that they would be messengers of the angel of light. They're not ambassadors tonight for Christ, but they're ambassadors for Satan this evening. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're the enemies tonight against, and they preach many messages tonight and much to be said, but it's always about life relevance. It's about many other things this evening, and it's not really preaching the Christ of the Scripture. Paul said we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's all my message is, Paul said, is to preach Christ and Him crucified. You see, we have to make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. The Jesus that we preach tonight and the Jesus of the Scripture tonight is the Jesus that was virgin born, that came tonight into Bethlehem's barn through the womb of the Virgin Mary. The first and only virgin birth in all of history tonight was Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart He was God incarnate, that He was Emmanuel, God with us. And that when we celebrate Christmas, we're not celebrating tonight some kind of historical event. We're celebrating tonight the most monumental event this world has ever known. And that's when a virgin brought forth her firstborn child and laid Him in a manger in swaddling clothes tonight. And He was Christ the Lord. The Christ we preach tonight has to be the virgin born. I heard a fellow say one time, when you stand before the great God of this universe, He's not going to give you a theological test. He's not going to ask you about the virgin birth. He's going to ask you all these other questions. I got news for you tonight. If you're not and do not believe in the virgin birth of Christ tonight, you'll never stand before the great God of this universe. The theological test tonight is not to take a test when you stand before the bar of God. The test tonight is, do you believe that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God right now? Amen. I believe that He was virgin-born. I believe He lived a sinless life. That He was God incarnate. He was God in the human flesh. That He got tired just like I get tired. That He hungered just like I hungered. That He thirst like I thirst. But yet he did not sin as I sinned. He is sinless tonight. He is without sin. As Pilate had to say, I can find no fault in him. Who tonight can stand and find fault in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not one. Not one person tonight can bring a charge against him and make it stick. He lived a sinless life. I believe he performed miracles. I read through the Gospels occasionally just to read the miracles of Jesus. You know, I'm amazed as I think about some things as we live in the day and age we live in, some of the things we'll believe. You know, I used to watch Walker, Texas Ranger. You know, y'all remember Walker, Texas Ranger, don't you? I mean, I thought one time, why don't we just turn him loose about 3 hours? I mean, in an hour, he wipes out an entire mob. Just in a little while, you know. I mean, I've never understood how 14 men be against one guy, and 13 of them stand and let him whoop the other, and then they jump in one at a time, you know. It's unbelievable to me. But when I read the miracles of Jesus, they are supernatural miracles of God. I believe he walked on the water. I believe he just walked right across that water just like it wasn't even there. I believe tonight that he raised Lazarus from the dead by simply saying, Lazarus, come forth. I believe he turned water into wine. I believe tonight that he took blinded eyes and allowed them to see. I believe he took tonight deaf ears and allowed them to hear. I believe he took the sick and the palsy and restored them back to their health. I believe that Jesus Christ performed every miracle that the Bible ever records for him tonight and performed many others, because the world would not contain the books if John had wrote everything about it. I believe he was a miracle performing Christ tonight. I believe he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. That they took him from the Garden of Gethsemane and tried him in Pilate's judgment hall. And that the Jews stood outside and cried, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. That they took him up Golgotha's hill and nailed him to an old rugged cross and stood him between heaven and earth. And he was crucified there upon the cross, and that on that cross he bore my sins in his own body. That there he gave his blood for the ransom for our sins, to pay our debt tonight. I believe that he was raised the third day. Hallelujah. I believe on the third day he came out of that grave. And I believe tonight that he lives tonight forever, and that his power to save is unlimited tonight. This is the Christ that we preach tonight. Amen. This is the Christ of the Bible. He's not interested in a lot of things some people think that he's interested in tonight. Let me tell you what he's interested in. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. They that are not sick don't need a physician. You see, Christ came tonight that he might find sinful men, that he might tonight receive them and restore them to a right place with God. We live in a time when much is said tonight, but we must stand tonight for this Christ of the Bible. And it's Jesus only. One of the sad points of today is so many times we want to compromise. We want to hear, well, yes, Jesus is a Savior, but Muhammad is too. Buddha, no matter what religion you follow, if you're sincere, it'll lead you to heaven. Listen to me tonight. The only way you'll ever go inside that pearly gate tonight and walk upon that street of gold is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. No other way. I believe he's tonight the Christ that was crucified on Calvary, was raised from the dead tonight, that his power to save is unlimited. And when he saves an individual, he makes him a new creation in Christ. We're not the same anymore. We're not the same. Brother Ellis used to sing the song, Thanks to Calvary. I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the same anymore, amen. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus changes people. He makes them a different person. Thank God tonight for what he does. I believe tonight with all of my heart that when Jesus lives within you, you're a different person. You're totally different. And if he didn't make a difference in your life, then he probably is not living there. Amen.
Right.
I'll guarantee you one thing. You know, down through the years, I've thought about this many times. If the Lord didn't live in me, I'd be a completely different person. I'd probably be dead. Don't tell him where I might be. But thank God he lived in here tonight. He made a difference. And when he lives in there, there's a difference that's made tonight. Doesn't mean I'm always perfect. Doesn't mean tonight that everything I do is always right. But I can assure you this, when I do mess up, somebody tells me about it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He lets me know about it right quick. That's the Christ of the Bible tonight. And Paul said in the book of Ephesians, as he tells this church here, he said, watch ye, stand fast. He told the church at Ephesus, he said, when you've done everything else you can do, when we've done everything else we can do, everything's said, everything's done, Paul said, stand. Stand. I don't know if you know anything about basketball. I know very little. But I know if you're standing under the goal and you're not moving your feet and somebody runs into you, that's called charging. And I played a little bit of basketball, and since I wasn't very good, I could supposed to take a charge. You know, and you think that'd be pretty easy to do, wouldn't you? You let a guy about 6'6", weigh about 250 pounds, come running at you 40 miles an hour, and you tell me you're going to stand there. Amen. And the coach says, Edge, why'd you move? You get in front of him, coach. I can't. You know what we have to do? We have to stand. That's what Paul says. Everything else, when all that's said and done, now just stand. We have to stand for Jesus. In our text, he gives you just a couple of things real quickly about this. He said, watch ye. Watch ye. Be on the lookout. It's the same word Peter uses over in 1 Peter chapter 5 when he talks about the devil. And he said, be vigilant for your adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. He said, boy, you better be on the alert. You better be watchful. You know, I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and my dad lived up in the Unity community of Lee County. And there was a mad dog scare went out back in those days. If you don't know what a mad dog is, see me at the service and I'll tell you. But people were afraid that there was a pack of wild dogs running. Mad wild dogs. And I'll guarantee you, every time you went out the door, you know what you done? You know? You was on the alert. You was on the watch. You didn't want one of them mad dogs to get a hold of you. You wanted to make sure. And you're always on the alert. That's what Paul says we have to do. We better be on the alert. We better put the feelers out. We better listen. We better watch. We better, tonight, be, as Brother Peter says, vigilant. Because there's a lot of people out there tonight. There's a lot of false preachers. There's a lot of false doctrine. And they'll sneak in, and they'll talk. And sometimes their speech is so good, So you better be careful. One of the things that I sometimes think about is the older that I get, and so many things that I see, and the great dangers I see facing our society, is that I want to make young people aware of their great need to be watchful, to be on the alert, and not let somebody sneak in and turn them in the wrong direction. Be watchful. Stand fast in the faith. That is, then he says, quit you like men. We use the word quit to mean we don't stop. But that's not what it means here. It means that tonight that we're going to be a man. Pardon the expression, ladies. But you know, what it means is tonight that we can't be nilly-willy, jelly-beany, and all of that other stuff tonight. We got to be willing tonight to have a strong backbone. Sometimes it requires taking insults and mockery. Sometimes tonight it means so many other things tonight, but quit you like men. Be a man. Stand for God. Be strong. Be courageous. Hard to be courageous sometimes, isn't it? You know? You think about that. Be courageous. How you have that? Well, you just have to be strong in the Lord. And sometimes being courageous is not what many people think it is. I mean, tonight we're to have good courage. We're to have good cheer and realize that whatever happens to us, God's got it everything figured out. And then he says, let all your things be done with charity, with love. One of the strangest things that I listened to recently or read recently, and I don't know if you know a black preacher by the name of T.D. Jakes. He and I differ on a lot of theology. But he was on Oprah Winfrey, and she asked him about gay marriage and his stand on that. And she says, what do you think? And he said, doesn't matter what I think, it's what the Word of God says. I thought, well, I'm agreeing with him. I do. And he did stand fast on Oprah Winfrey on that issue. And he said, she said, in other words, you don't welcome gay people to your church. He said, we'll let gay people come to our church anytime. We just don't accept them as members. We don't allow them to be married in our church. But we'll preach to them the gospel just like we would anybody else. He said, I don't hate gay people because God loves them just like he loves everybody else, and he's willing to save them and change them. And I thought, well, he's taking a pretty good stand here. And later on I read where some guy was writing about this particular interview, and he said, yeah, I love them. Ha, 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 ha. He won't even let them do this, and he won't let them do that. I thought, you people don't understand anything. You don't really understand love. Listen to me tonight. We don't hate people. We don't hate those that commit sins. And everything we do, as Paul said, we have to speak the truth in love. We stand for Jesus. But even Jesus loves them tonight. And so tonight we have to be charitable. We have tonight to be loving and kind. when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Amazing prayer. I don't know if I could do that or not. I'd probably be, God send somebody to whoop this bunch. Get Walker in here. Amen. Be charitable. We have to do it in a loving spirit. We have to do it in a, as God would have us to do it. I don't think these folks from the church up in Kansas, I believe it is, that go out and hold signs up at soldiers' funeral and all that, I don't believe that's of God. Their doctrine may be wrong, but their heart's far from the Lord tonight. We have to do it with love. We stand up for Jesus, and we do it with the love of God in our heart tonight. All right, I thank you for coming. You stand with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message and use it for tonight. The honor and glory of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name, I pray. Amen.